All right, Genesis chapter 3, in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 3. Now, this kind of goes along with the biblical womanhood messages that I preached a few weeks back, about a month ago or so. But it really, it gives kind of an outline, because this is going to be a two-part message in the sense of the verse, he shall rule over thee. Because really, this is going to deal with the wife's portion of it, and then the husband's portion of what he is to do will deal with, as well as how he's to rule over. All right, how he's to rule over them and a wife and everything like that. Let's pray. Father, we need you, Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you please would give us understanding. Lord, I pray, even though there be some here that should be here tonight that aren't here, other things going on, Lord, and I pray you give them safety, take care of them, Lord. But I pray, Father, they'd even listen to this, they'd hear this message. It would change them, Lord. This is the foundational truth of marriage and of what God would have and the divine order that He set up. And Father, it is your plan, not our plan. It is your judgment that you put on, your sentence that you put on, Lord. It's not ours. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd bring this truth home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, listen, there's something that took place here in Genesis chapter 3. We understand, just to get it, let's read the verse. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You know, that's very, very prophetic. This is a sentence that was passed upon. Notice, if you go back, and we could read these, I'll read the first 15 verses. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now notice, he went to the woman. Now, there's a reason for that some believe, and I'll explain that a little bit later. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, there you go. She had her own version of the Bible there, didn't she? She had her own version of God's Word, and that wasn't what God said. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's what I'm going to do. Believe a snake. There you go. Right there. She was deceived, wasn't she? She was deceived. Now that might make you mad, but I didn't write it, and this is how it happened. Amen. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now what do you think here, and this isn't really part of the message I've written down, but what do you think he was appealing to in Eve? What was he trying to do there? Does anybody see the fact that what he is trying to do is destroy God's order that God placed? God put a head over that woman, and it was Adam. That was the head. Now they were partners, yes, and that was his helpmeet, yes. Eve was his helpmeet, but we understand that God made Adam first. And that God put him in charge of everything. And that was God's plan, that was God's order. But what was he trying to appeal to? He was trying to appeal to her sense of wanting to be liberated, wanting to be out from underneath her husband's control or her husband's watchful eye, out from underneath his watchful eye and say, hey, you know what? Yea, hath God said. First he got her to question God. Now God really isn't serious about you dying. You know, he just speaks, he jokes around a lot. God's not real serious about this one. Well, some of you we live our lives like that. No, well, God's not serious about this command he gave me. He's serious about some of the other ones. You know, like bowing down to idols, but come on. Putting TV or anything else before my Bible study, that's not an idol. Think about that. Ouch. That was free. It didn't cost you anything. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, notice what he said here, though. Let me back there. Then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The problem is that God never wanted them to know evil. They were perfect. There was no evil except the devil. He didn't want them to know evil. Didn't want them to know evil at all. And when the woman saw, so he's appealing to her. He's appealing. First he's saying, well, now you'll be as God. Then Adam, he won't have any, I mean, you'll be able to do what you want. Amen. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the first one, well, hey, listen, it's good for food. What's wrong with that tree? God told you not to eat it. Why didn't she go eat off the tree of life? It was good for food. She was deceived. She was fooled. You know how many men fool women on a daily basis? I'm not being unkind. I'm just telling you the truth. You know how many of them do? Lots of them. Why? Well, we'll get to that. I'll show you why. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, it just looks good. What did it appeal to? Her emotions, her feelings. Oh, it looks good. And when it was pleasant to the eyes. Well, that makes a difference. Now, see, you and I understand that there's a difference. Well, I mean, it might look good, but it's poison. It's going to kill you. You're going to die if you eat that. Yeah, but it looks good. I've seen women do that with animals. Oh, that's a cute little animal. No, that's a ferocious little thing that'll kill you. That's not a cute animal. That's a mean thing right there that'll kill you. Amen? Oh, that's just a cute... No, that's not. Somebody said to me, are you scared of that horse? Yeah, I don't want that big fat thing trampling on me. Yeah, I'm kind of scared of it. I am kind of. It weighs a lot more than me and it could stomp me. Yeah, I am scared of it. And the natural instinct of me is when something scares me is to kill it. I mean, I'm just telling you, that's just that is a man's natural response to an animal. That wasn't Eve's response, though, to trouble or to danger or to problem. What was her response? Oh, it looks nice. It's lovely. It just looks so wonderful. Isn't it great? Good for food? And it was pleasant to my eyes? And a tree to be desired? Oh, boy. Remember when we say that the King James Bible is in every word? Every word, we believe in every word Bible. Could you underline that word? Or at least mark it in your mind. If you don't mark in your Bible, I understand. But underline that word or write that word down in your notes. Desired, because that word's going to come back up again. It's going to come back up real soon. And that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Well, I want to be wise. Eve, you're already wise. If you don't eat the tree, you're already wise. You understand what the truth is, Eve. Your husband told you. God told you. This is the order, Eve. It didn't look like Eve asked her husband what he thought about this, did she? The husband was off tending the field doing what he was doing. She didn't bother to ask her husband, well, hey, listen, God said if we eat it, we're going to die, but I don't need to consult my husband about something like this. I'll take care of it myself. Wait a minute, Eve. You're the helpmeet. Wait a minute, Eve. You're there to help him. You're there to complete him. What are you doing? I'm acting independently on my own. I'm acting independently on my own. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm making this decision for me. It's pleasant. It's good for food, and it's pleasant to the eyes, and it's a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Ooh, something happened there, didn't it? Something real bad happened. What happened? Well, Adam didn't pay attention to what he was supposed to do either. See, Adam was not deceived. He knew what was going on. He knew what was up with that tree, and he knew what was up with that slimy little snake. See, he understood it all. He wasn't fooled by it. He knew what was up. But Adam partook anyway. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Something, when we sin, God is always there to call us, isn't he? Back to repentance. Where art thou? Where art thou? You ever heard that before? Where art thou? And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking, and the Lord God called unto them, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, he knew the answer to this. God wasn't asking him because he didn't know it. You understand that, right? God wasn't asking him that. Oh, because I don't know the answer I'm going to ask you. No, God was trying to get them to admit their sin. Why? Well, because that's the first step to the road back to redemption, is to admit your sin. He was already trying to restore them. Don't you see the mercy of God in this judgment? Don't you see the mercy of God in judgment? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That's what He's saying here. He's saying, where art thou, Adam? I'm coming, Adam. Where are you, Adam? I know you're in sin. I know sin's going to destroy you, Adam. I am coming to help you. Where art thou, Adam? I'm looking for you. Looking for us. Where art thou? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? God confronts him with his sin right away. Why? Because God has to reprove Adam. He can have no fellowship with Adam because of his sin. Now, this isn't part of my message, by the way, but I'm just kind of leading up to this. But God can have no fellowship with him until he confesses his sin. So the first thing that God wants to know from you every day is, where art thou and what hast thou done? Very simple. Are you listening to me? Very simple. I can't get through to God. Why? Where art thou? And what hast thou done? Answer those two questions when you start praying. Answer those two questions when you start praying. And you'll be able to get through prayer and you'll get a hold of God in heaven. He said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Who was involved with all this? Where have I have commanded to thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman. Ah, you like that. Here goes Adam. Here's what Adam says. Adam, he wasn't wrong about what he was saying technically. He said, the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, you know, that lady you gave me, that perfect specimen that you handed me, whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Wait a minute, Adam. Now stop acting like you didn't know what was going on, Adam. You knew exactly what was going on. We'll get to Adam's judgment next week. But Adam here, Adam was trying to make everything, hey, listen, God, you know the woman thou gavest me. Oh boy, God is saying, well, I'll get back to you in a minute, Adam. Let me just take care of this. I'll go through the line and I'll get to you, Adam. I'll take care of you. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, God, you see that serpent over there? He tricked me. He beguiled me. He got me. He tricked me. He misled me. He deceived me. Now, that wasn't a lie. It was true. He did deceive her. Eve was deceived. The Bible says that. She was deceived in the transgression. Some people try to blame Adam for that, but you can't blame Adam for that. Eve was deceived. They say, well, maybe Adam should have been guarded. No. Eve made the decision. Satan knew who to attack, and he attacked her. He went after her. Amen. He went after her. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now I believe from this, and again, this isn't really part of my message, but I really believe that the serpent probably walked or uprightly. You know. Now, some expositors believe that Eve actually had the serpent as a pet. Was one of her favorite pets. That he would curl around her neck, or he would curl around her arms or something. You know, and just it was her favorite pet. So Satan knew that she had that pet, you know, and used that. So some, now that's Jewish historian. That doesn't mean it's not Bible, but it's just something to think about. That's what some of the Jewish rabbis believed, that was the case. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know, it's interesting that word enmity, because we see that again in James chapter 4, in the wars of James chapter 4. When we talk about that, and it says that there should be enmity between between us and the world. We shouldn't be friends of the world. Whosoever is a friend of the world is enemy with Christ. You know, we're enemies of the cross, and we're supposed to be enemies with the devil and his kingdom, and we're actually enemies with God when we're not doing right. It's very interesting. That's not the way that God intended the divine order. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Now listen, here's where our text verse is. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Notice now, every single one of these words means something. You see this? And I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Look at that. And thy desire, remember I told you about that word, desire before? And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, the first thing, these are the divine order of the sexes that God had laid down. That's what's going on here. That's what God laid down. This is the order that God had laid down. This is actually, though, at this portion of Scripture, is the sentence that God laid down for Eve, for Adam, and for the serpent. That is there, right there. The sentence that is there. Okay? This is a divine sentence that was given to Eve by God for her sin. First of all, God tells Eve that He will greatly multiply her sorrow and conception. Woman was created to be a helpmeet for her husband. That was always God's plan all along, for her to dwell with her husband in unity and love. But she chose to sin and give in to the serpent, and much sorrow would come of it. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the original intent of God, we see here, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Leave and cleave, right? There it is, leave and cleave. But look at what is said here. That is given to the man. But what happened in this verse? Something different took place, though. God's original intent, which still is, that a man do this, by the way, but there was an addition, something that was added on to that. It says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Well, yeah, that's still God's order, but this is God's judgment. This is the sentence of God on woman right here. And I'll explain that a little bit further. He said, so that wasn't the original intent? Not in this sense it wasn't. And I'll explain the original intent of God there. Well, Scripture explains it already, but I'll show you what happened there in this and what the judgment entails. Notice that she was created to be a helpmeet for him. Notice also in verse 24 that man would leave his father and his mother, would cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It was the man that would have that strong desire to leave and cleave. Still does. But a lady will be driven to that because of this judgment that was passed down, this sentence that was passed down. She would desire the same thing, no longer the same as it was before when Eve was there. But when Eve, she hearkened unto the voice of the serpent and believed that wicked devil, she caused a great judgment and a sentence to come. Remember, friends, sin doesn't go unpunished. It doesn't. So the sentence begins with, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. Any lady that has a baby can attest to the sorrows in conception. When she brings forth that child, all the way through, from the time that she finds she's with child, all the way through, a lady could explain to you the multiplied sorrow that comes with that. The pain, the suffering, the anguish, all of it, all the way through. Amen. It's from the beginning of that 9.5 months and all the way to the delivery, there is sorrows. There is pain and suffering and backaches and sore muscles and stomach sickness and pain and suffering and puking and everything else. Amen? Morning sickness, big fat swelled feet, ankles, gestational diabetes. Amen? All of that was a divine judgment. Do you understand that? All that you go through, in this verse it says, unto the woman he said, her judgment, her sentence was this, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband. In sorrow. That's the sorrow that comes along with my... Do you realize that God's original intent was not for a lady to go through any pain when she had a baby? They never had to take, would have had to take a glucose test to find out if you had gestational diabetes and drink that awful stuff they give you. That wasn't God's intent. It wasn't God's intent to have to do an ultrasound or whatever you call it to see if a baby has club feet or not and there's something wrong with it and the mother and father have to be concerned with that. That wasn't God's original intent. This is the judgment. This is the sentence of the judgment of God. That's what happened to the lady. Very simply, they were to coexist together. Yes, the husband was still the leader, but it was a little bit different, and I'll show you that in a second. How about this? Feet being sore, cramps coming in, all of those things that come about when you have a child or when you're with child. Pain and suffering, all of those things. That was not God's intent. That is the sorrow that came with conception. That is the sorrow that came. That's the judgment of God. He said, remember He said to them in the beginning, be fruitful and multiply. There He says, multiplied sorrows will come your way. You see the difference? You see the original perfect intent of God and then what sin did? Multiplied sorrows are all part of that sentence that was pronounced on Eve, the mother of all living. So this first part of the sentence really deals with the childbearing and also the rearing of a child. God never intended for the afflictions that came with that, that come with childbearing or child rearing now. You see, this sentence goes into multiplied sorrows and actually rearing your children or raising your children. That sorrow never ends for a woman. That lady that brings that child forth in the world, that child, chances are, and many times will bring them heartache and pain all the way through their lives. That was the judgment and the sentence of God upon the woman, that there would be that sorrow. How about this? We'll get to that in a second. But you see this sentence, we see the delivery process for mother. It's the most agonizing and dangerous time of her life. I have heard many say that it is the closest thing to death that a lady goes through is having a child. It's the closest time they are to death. Anything can happen, something can happen. How many times in the Bible we see many ladies that lost their lives giving birth to a child? Folks, God never meant it to be that way. That is the multiplied sorrows that came from the sin of Eve. God never wanted a lady to have that pain when bringing a child into the world. But alas, sin brings forth misery and pain and death. But this sentence goes into motherhood itself. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Which means that they will cause you much heartache and pain from the cradle to the grave as you watch them. They will cause you much pain. Doesn't have to be that way, but most of the time it is. In many cases it is. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Doesn't say his father. It says mother to shame. She takes it a lot harder. Dad takes it pretty hard, but mom takes it real hard. Think about the mind of Eve when Cain slew Abel. What a piercing blow to Eve and a reminder that what sprang forth from her womb was sinful man and the sorrow that filled her heart when one of her own that came forth from her, that she brought forth, killed the other one. Do you hear it? The echo in her mind, which must have went back to that garden and the words of God's divine sentence, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows. When she saw the blood of her baby boy spilled on the ground, she had to look down and hear that still small voice from the garden way back when she was in the garden say, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows. You see that? I know, and we read our Bibles really fast, and we never think about any of this stuff, do we? We never stop to think about this, that there's an order here. We can run to the New Testament and say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and stop there. But what about the beginning? What about this? What about this is the way that God had? This is a truth that goes all the way from Genesis, all the way to the end of the Bible. It is not a new truth. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That is not a new truth. That is all the way from the beginning, all the way, but there's a reason why. And here's the reason. When a son goes wayward, no one hurts like his mother does. When a mother sees her child in duress, when she hears the simple cry, it brings her immediate attention right away. Right away. When they're hurting, when there's pain, when something happens, that's the sorrows that come. that never was intended to be there by God would not have been, but sin brought forth that. And sin brought forth death. And no more apparent was it to Eve than when she seen her little boy dead on the ground, his blood crying from the earth. What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth from the earth. What must she have thought when she said, and I wonder if her words went back to what the devil said when he said to her, ye shall not surely die. Oh, she didn't die right away, did she? She died spiritually, but she didn't die. She lived hundreds of years. But the first death she ever saw was the death of her son. The death of her offspring. The death of her firstborn. Our secondborn, Abel. But she saw the death of him and the banishment of the other. Never more real was that judgment to her when she heard those words and she saw that her children had, one of her child had died and the other one was the murderer. I will greatly multiply thy sorrows. Never had to be that way, folks. The divine sentence, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows, in sorrows thou shalt bring forth a child. And boy, did she ever go through a lot of sorrow. And next it says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Do you remember what we looked at in the first part of this? I said that word desire means something, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Her desire to be wise. Her desires. Well, what happened? Eve was led by her desires. What was that really? Her emotional wants? Why do you think the Bible is very clear about that? And why do you think that when preachers stand up and say that women are driven by their emotions, they're greatly driven by their emotions in a lot of ways? Do you think that's not true when the Bible says it's true? It very expressly explains that. Why do you think that it says that thy desire shall be to thy husband? What does that mean? As a governor? As a governor of your emotional trip that you're on? Amen. I'm not being unkind to you. I'm telling you the truth. As a governor, you know how many times you have to say, settle down. You're getting too excited. It's not that big of a deal. You're flipping out. Amen. If you think that's demeaning, then read the Bible more because you're not spiritual enough. That's not demeaning. That's what God called a husband to do. Settle down. You're getting too excited. You're acting too much on your emotions. Now, when the husband acts too much on his emotions, that's really a bad thing. You know, just smack him that place where the rib came out. I don't know. Anyway, but understand what this says here. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. Many times we read over these verses so rapidly we miss the great truths that are right here to see. And thy desire shall be that. There is more than one way to look at the judgment or the sentence of God here and the ways that it impacts a lady. Notice first that Eve was made for Adam as we looked in our text. But Eve decided that she would work independently of Adam in consulting with the serpent to take of the forbidden fruit. Understand, Eve took her desires, her passions, her wants, her appealing to that liberated position. Because what did he say? You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, what was that doing? He's saying, come on, Eve, you don't want to be under the watchful governing eye of your husband. You don't want to be in God's order. You'll be like a god if you just do this, Eve, and you'll be woman, hear you roar. Sound like the feminist movement? Is that a new thing? That's not a new thing. This insatiable desire for ladies to be equal with men really is lame. It's sin, but it's lame. It's actually, the reason why it is because there is no equality of the sexes. It's impossible. I can't do what a lady does. I don't want to do what a lady does. Thank God I don't have to do what a lady does. Thank God I have a wife. But I'm just saying, I can't do that. Now they are trying desperately to change that now. as much as they can, the perverts and the weirdos and the creeps out there. They're trying to do that as much as they can. But they'll burn in hell. Hot. Very hot. Extremely hot. And they're working with demons to try to do genetically alter things because demons have advanced knowledge of genetic codes. And I know I sound spooky to you now, but listen, I'm not talking spooky. I'm giving you the truth. It happened way back in Genesis chapter 6, and it's happened after that again after the flood, and it'll happen again now. Where do you think they get all the knowledge at? Do you really think they figured out how to do cloning and everything else just by themselves, or the spirit of Antichrist taught them that? Thank you. I just happen to read my Bible and know that there's a spirit world out there when most Baptists are scared of that. I'm scared of it, but I'm not scared to acknowledge it. Amen? It's out there. It's real. Anyway. But Eve took her emotional decision-making process there and she went outside of her husband because it appealed to her flesh. Adam was tending the garden. And Eve was consulting with the serpent. Again, some historians believe that the serpent was actually someone that Eve grew close to, and Satan knew that and used that relationship against her. Like that serpent was her friend, and she confided with him. And like I said, some historians believe the serpent like just wrapped himself around like a pet, and you know, there was no fear. They couldn't die. It wasn't going to kill her. You know, there's no fear there. There was no fear. You understand that, right? It'd be like, it's like in the millennium when when they'll lay up the hole of the asp, you know, and you'll play with the tiger and you'll tickle the kitty cat and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff will happen and nothing will happen in all of God's holy hill. Why? It's perfect. Perfection. There was no fear of anything. Adam wasn't walking around scared of dinosaurs. He just pet them. Like God talked about tickling the chin of Leviathan. You know, that's just what happened. But Genesis chapter 3 verse 6, back up here. Eve knew that if she ate of the fruit, she would surely die and that it would impact her husband greatly. But she did not consult him, but usurped her husband's authority and answered for him. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it also unto her husband with her and he did eat. She put the desire of herself ahead of her husband, and ruin came from it. Then Adam went ahead and partook and hearkened to the voice of his wife. So then God said that her desire would be to her husband. So no longer would what she wanted to do would matter. She would have to submit to her husband's rule. He shall rule over thee, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But her desire would be that to her husband. Now there's a few different ways that applies. Also, knowing that conceiving a child would bring her much... let me back up here. So no longer would that, what she wanted to do would matter. She would have to submit to her husband's rule. That was important to her. She would be... The desire would change in the fact that she would know what happened. Well, her desire was given to her husband then. She would be desirous of him then. Do you understand that? So actually what would take place is she would know that conceiving a child, afterwards the judgment was this, that knowing that she would conceive a child, to bring forth a child would bring her much physical pain and suffering, and it would cause her much pain. God would put her in a woman to still want to physically know a man, even though it would end up in that pain. She would still want to know that man in a physical, intimate way. No matter if he was perfect or whatever he was, she would still want that, even though she knew the end result would be pain through child-rearing. That desire would be put in her because of her sin. That doesn't mean there would not have been marriage, or there would not have been children before. There would have been no sorrow, and she would have been able to submit to a husband that was perfect. And I'll get to that in a second. She would be attracted to her husband and want him physically, even though the conception process was painful. We see this all the time with babies out of wedlock today, folks. A woman still has those physical and emotional needs that only a man can fulfill. Only the world's answer is abortion or birth control. And God's answer is sorrow and pain in conception. But abortion is a way to try to get out of that. Abortion and birth control matters that kill a baby, those type of birth control, those things are ways to end life. Morning after pill, things of that nature. Why? to get out of God's divine judgment. Do you see that? Because the natural desire will always be there, whether you're married or not, it's there. But getting married and raising children, having children, is the end of that, and some people want to skip that part of the divine sentence there. They don't want to go through that pain. So they want to have all the fun in the world, the wicked fun in the world, and not follow God's divine order for everything. It's normal for a young lady to want a husband physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That is very normal. That's very normal. But it's also part of the divine sentence, is having to wait for such things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." I'm sure glad he wrote verse number 2. "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Amen? "Let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband." Amen? That's taking care of each other like you're supposed to. Paul knew those desires were there and they had to be fulfilled. Remember, "and thy desire shall be to thy husband" means that you will desire for a man to lead you as well. A woman will have a desire for a man to lead them as well. They will have that, a natural desire to have leadership over them. Whether they want to buck that leadership sometimes, that's in the spirit of their mother Eve, but they'll want to buck that sometimes, but they still have that desire to have that leadership over them. It's a natural thing. See, what do you mean? Well, I mean, look at little girls with their fathers. It's completely, right? That's that desire. A woman's desire is to be led by a man. Whether they want to admit it or not, they have been raised, if they've been raised right, and also that natural instinct of a woman is to be led by a man. Why? Because God put them. He put it in them. To have that. Right here. The third part of the divine sentence on woman is this, that he shall rule over thee. He shall rule over thee. One preacher said, if a man can't rule the roost, he'll fly the coop. Very true. I know a lot of men that get frustrated, that just, phew, see ya. If you're going to be a bossy woman and try to lead me around and tell me what to do as a man, I'm out of here. I didn't say it was right and biblical. I said that's the way men are. Amen? I just determined in my heart that I'd never marry a bossy woman. Because she wouldn't have made it 5 seconds with me. I'm being honest with you. Nope. You ask my wife, she knows it to a T. I can't. If there's one thing that really gets on me, it's a bossy woman. I'm telling you. Oh. There's nothing, I'm telling you, I'm not a guy that can work for a woman. Anywhere I've ever been, I could never work for a woman, ever. Ever, 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 ever. Couldn't do it. I couldn't take it. I just could not take that woman standing there telling me what to do. And you know what? The funny thing is, it doesn't bother me if it makes people mad that I say it, because I think it's funny. Because it's God's divine order, so I don't care if you get mad at it. I'm preaching the Scriptures. I could never take a woman telling me what to do. It just didn't work for me. I think I worked one job like that, and I think I quit the same day. I was like, okay, see ya. I can't handle this. I seriously, some guys can do it, and they're like really all like, they're okay with it. I can't do it. I could never do it. And that's when women try to tell me what to do and everything else. You know, in the ministry, you find that some women try to tell you what to do in the ministry. I've been in churches like that where they tried to kind of boss you around. And, I was never good at that either. I didn't take, it was so bad that one gentleman got upset with me because his wife yelled at me one time when I was preaching in the service. And she actually yelled at me. And I told her if she couldn't handle herself with respect and decorum, she could go upstairs and sit with her husband. I mean, I thought it was a friendly way to do it. She yelled at me in front of a bunch of people. I mean, that went over real well. I mean, the guy went to fist fight me almost, but I wasn't being unkind. I just said the truth. You know, listen, you're not going to... And even the pastor's wife was there, and she agreed with me. She was like, no, you handled that right, I think. You know, so thank you. But anyway, I'm just saying that I've never been... I'm not that kind of guy that can take that. I don't know. It's just, I never have been, and never will be. But anyway... But women today do not want to accept the divine sentence of God that husbands shall rule over the wife. They don't want to accept that today. That is a source of but it's no different than what Eve did. She went around it too, and she was perfect. She tried to go around it. Went the other way. You say, was it not always that this way? Well, in the garden of God, what did God told Adam? That he would make a helpmeet for him, so he created Eve from Adam's side. The intent was that Eve would be equal with Adam and walk through life praising God. Well, wait a minute now, what do you mean? Well, listen, Eve would naturally submit to Adam because he first walked with God and spent time with God, and a helpmeet will always be there to help. Remember, Eve was perfect. She was perfect. Adam was perfect, and it was easy for Adam to be a leader. He was sinless and perfect. Eve was sinless and perfect, and it was not a challenge for Eve to follow a perfect man. You starting to get the picture? It was easy for Eve to follow a perfect man. So it wasn't hard for her to submit. Why? She was sinless. He was sinless. They didn't do anything wrong to each other. Lady, the challenge for you is to follow an imperfect man. The divine sentence of God is for you to follow an imperfect man. Submit to an imperfect man, and he shall rule over thee. An imperfect man. The divine sentence of God, don't you see this, is that an imperfect man will rule over you. What does that mean? Well, God didn't put wives, submit yourselves unto a perfect man in the Bible. When he's perfectly doing everything that he should and treating you and telling you and whispering lovely things in your ear all the time. It doesn't say that, does it? No, it says wives, submit yourselves. Why? Because it goes back to this verse when God said what? And he shall rule over thee. An imperfect man shall rule over thee. Before she submitted to a perfect man, it wasn't hard. They were both perfect. They had no problems. When sin came in, perfection was gone. So now God said, you will submit. You will have him to rule over you. No longer will you be able to serve an imperfect husband or work with or submit to an imperfect husband. He will rule over you. That's hard to take. That's hard for ladies to take. I bet people say, well, it's kind of hard, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a lady. I suppose it probably would be about as hard as it is for me to obey God. Amen? Except God's perfect. But nevertheless, submitting, we'll get to that. Eve would naturally submit to Adam because of that. Eve was sinless and perfect, and it was not a challenge for her. They had no sin nature to fight and argue and fuss over things. You might say, well, if I had a perfect husband, then I would be submissive. But he's not what he should be. Well, see, Eve still exercised that free will of hers and rose up against Adam. So I don't think that's a good argument for you to say, well, if my husband was a better husband, I'd submit to him. I'd allow him to rule over me. Lady, it's not your choice. That was the divine judgment of God. Now, you can argue with that, and you can fuss with that, and you can fight with that, but that was God's divine order. That is his judgment, his sentence on Eve's sin. And it's passed down to you. Because Eve usurped the authority that God laid down. Listen to me. She didn't usurp her husband's authority. Yes, she did. No, she didn't. Listen. But Eve usurped the authority that God laid down. She was punished with being submissive to a sinful man. You say, but she usurped Adam's authority. No, Adam agreed. He was also punished for hearkening to the voice of his wife over clear commands of God. If you notice, she gave to her husband and he ate. What am I saying? I'm saying that he was okay with her leading him. He allowed her to lead. Folks, just because your husband allows you to lead doesn't mean it's biblical or right. A man should stand up and rule over his family because that's what God has called him to do. That is the place that God has put him. Well, I'll hand it over to my wife and let her do it. Well, your wife, even though she is usurping God's authority, and so are you. You're both usurping God's authority. because that's not the way that God intended it to be. That's not the way He ordered it to be after the judgment was pronounced that this is going to happen. This is going to be the way it is. But too many people are trying to get out of God's order of things, aren't they? When a lady usurps authority, she is usurping God's authority because it was His order that He put down. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 21. You starting to get the picture here? Is it starting to make sense? Going back to the beginning and understanding, this is a divine judgment of God. This is what happened. This was the sentence that was given. Folks, it's not, hey, submit to the nicest, most friendliest husband that you have. It's submit. It's he shall rule over you. Thy desires shall be unto him. That is the way that it is, period. It's not up for voting. Well, when we make decisions in our family, we vote on it. That's wonderful. But the only problem is that your husband's going to answer for those decisions that are made. Well, shouldn't my husband have to make a decision, a spiritual decision, with me included? He should tell you what he's going to do, I guess, and ask you to pray about it. But, I mean, he's got to make the decision at the end of the day. Why? Because thy desire shall be to him, and he shall rule over thee. So when you're saying, I should have been consulted about this, and it should have been my decision to make too. No, it shouldn't have. Who says? You? Okay, Eve. How'd that work out for her? That's saying, God, I don't like your order. But Eve didn't like the original one either. That's why she bounced out of it and caused a bunch of trouble. And her husband followed her. You know any men I've seen get in trouble following their wives? In fact, I've seen a lot of men follow. It makes me sick to my stomach, but I've watched them do it. And by the way, nothing I'm saying is humanly, fleshly, chauvinistic in any way. It's the way God wrote it in the book. This is the way it is. I didn't make it up, folks. It's God's way. It is the divine judgment of God. It's the sentence of God. Well, I don't like it. Well, I bet you didn't like it either. But it didn't change anything. If you're going to obey God, it's not going to change anything whether you like it or not. You know what? The funny thing is that whether you like it or not, you still need to obey God. Amen? I don't like doing this. Well, I'm sorry you don't like doing it, but you still have to obey God no matter what. It doesn't matter if you like it. I don't like going to work every day or doing things that I don't want to do sometimes. I don't like preaching some messages, but I still have to do it when God tells me to. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands. Only difference in the church is that the church, who we submit to, is perfect. But who you have to submit to is not perfect. If he tells you he's perfect, he's lying. But he's telling you a lie. He may walk around and act like he's perfect, but he's not. Ephesians chapter 5 here just lays down the New Testament command, the same as the old order and divine law that was laid down there. It hasn't changed. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you turn there quickly. 12. Oops, wait a minute, I might have the wrong one here. Nope. I think it's... never mind. Here we go. Yeah, here we go. Verse number 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Well, that's interesting. That goes back to that verse in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, doesn't it? It talks about like multiplying thy sorrows in conception, and that thy desire shall be to him, and he shall rule over thee. He's saying this is the reason why. He's reinstating. He's emphatically saying nothing's changed. This is the New Testament pastoral epistles. Nothing's changed. Even though you're a New Testament Christian, nothing has changed. The order is the same. The divine order of the sexes stays the same. Nothing has changed. This was God's divine order. It was His judgment. No man or woman has the right to change it. Part of the woman's sentence would be that she would have to submit to the froward and to the good husband. But God was merciful in His judgment, not making her submit to every man as a slave. It doesn't say, your wife is to submit to me. It doesn't say that. It says she's to submit to her own husband. Why? Submit to one who loves her, not to one who doesn't. Which reminds me, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Amen? But that's the command that's given. He doesn't say be submissive to every man that walks down the street. No, He just says submit to your own husband. Be submissive to your own husband. Why? Because God knew that in the marriage bed, in the covenant of marriage, that there would be love there. And there'd be protection there. And He gave instructions for the man, which we'll get to, and we'll pick on the men here pretty soon. That's why I say I do not believe a woman should be president of the United States. I don't think it's biblical. Things that are constitutional are not always biblical. You understand that? Abortion is constitutionally illegal. That doesn't mean it's biblical. How does it? Why should? Well, she's supposed to submit to her own husband. How is she going to submit to her own husband and be the president of the United States? Anybody want to explain that one to me? Well, I don't think you should do that. Well, I'm the president. Yeah, but you're my wife. Does that make any sense? By the way, how could somebody whose desires are to her husband and he shall rule over her, how could she rule the highest office of the land? Why don't Christians wake up and take off the stupid hat, please? I'm sorry if that offends you, but I'm so sick and tired of people pushing women into politics like this, like they're the next big thing, and preachers that are backing this up and saying, oh, it's okay, I'd vote for a woman, ain't that really? You really would? Like seriously, you would? I'm not demeaning women. I'm just saying, seriously, you would? As a guy, you would, really? Like, you really feel comfortable with the President of the United States being a woman, really? Like seriously? Honestly. I'm beyond the fact whether that offends somebody or not, by the way. I want you to understand that. I'm so beyond that. Because I look at that and I think, you are crazy. You are going out of God's divine order. That is not a meek and humble, quiet spirit. How in the world is that a meek and humble, quiet spirit? Submissive to her own husband. Making decisions and leading men. How is that? Leading armies? Oh my goodness, please. Really? Like seriously? Having her button on the nukes? I mean, really? Having the briefcase carrier? I mean, the whole nine yards? Really? I mean, seriously? Honestly? I'm sorry, I don't look at my wife and think, man, I just want her to be G.I. Jane today. I want her to go off and I want her to run the nukes and do everything else. I want her to be the leader of the free world. Or whichever way you look at it. But I want her to be that. Who wakes up in the morning and says, I want my wife to do that? I'm not being unkind to ladies. I'm just saying, where do you find that? I'm not saying it's unconstitutional and there's no liberty to do it. Don't misunderstand me. She has every bit of liberty according to the Constitution to do it. Now, according to the Word of God, I don't think she has the liberty to do it. But that's not my decision. That's her husband. And if he likes his wife telling him what to do, that's his business. She makes more money than him, so she's okay. He's okay with that. But I fail to see the point of that. What I'm saying is I don't see how Christians, be they ladies or men, could vote for that woman and put a woman in office. I just don't. Especially when one of the women that were running that, Michelle Bachmann, lied about what submission to a husband is in the first place. Well, I see that as a co-equal partnership. Where do you get that from? I mean, I understand there is a partnership there and we love one another, but men lead. That's what the Bible says. Why does that really get to this generation so much? Why does that bother this generation so much? Even men, they squint and they're scared of it. And I can't figure that out. I want to know where these men were dropped off at. Because I don't get that whole thing. I don't understand that whole thing where men don't want to be men today. And they're scared to tell their wives that they're supposed to submit according to the Scriptures. And their wives aren't following. And you have pastors out there that are telling, well, if you're... One man wanted his wife to, was leaving a church, and his wife bucked him on it and said, no, I'm not leaving. I grew up in this church. We're not going to this other church. We're staying right here. And that church backed him up, backed his wife up. So what you're saying is that your wife is supposed to be loyal to that church and not to her husband? Where do you find that one in the Bible? And then somebody tried to pull out the verse, we would obey God rather than man. Okay, let's use that verse. Because what that means is that I'm going to obey God's divine order that He laid down. And His divine order that He laid down was a husband was to rule over the wife. That was God's order. By the way, most relationships that I see like that, they really don't have a lot of problems of all those women that are mad that the Bible talks about a woman submitting to her husband. I don't see those same problems in those relationships. The ones that are submitted and the ones that work, that love the Lord and believe in God's divine order, they don't have the same problems that others have. But I see a lot of problems with these women. I'm not going to submit to my husband. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because we're equal. According to what? According to what? Now, what does it mean when it says, thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee? I mean, what does that mean? Is there some other hidden meaning I'm supposed to look for in there? By the way, don't worry. Men aren't going to just skate out of this series like scot-free and they're not going to feel anything. They're going to understand by the end of this series that we do on husbands that we're pretty pitiful examples of what a biblical husband ought to be. Amen. Plain and simple. So, it's a lot easier for a woman to submit to a man that loves her and cares for her and is being a biblical husband than it is being a tyrant, a bully, and just an overall jerk. Amen? But most people that follow this design don't have that problem. Remember this, when the woman was left to herself, she sinned and was deceived by the serpent and then led her husband into sin, and she is not permitted to lead a relationship and must be ruled over or led by her husband. That means that she must submit in all areas of her life to her husband. So many ladies today are trying to buck the system. They're trying to buck the sentence of God. They say this, oh, I can pastor, I can lead a church, I can lead a home, I can tell my husband what to do and we're equals. And the women's lib movement spits in the face of God, His authority, and usurps the authority of God's plan. And many Christian women have fell for it and said the same things and caused that same strife in the home because there's two people trying to lead. You ever heard that thing, too many chiefs and not enough Indians? That's what happens in a lot of homes. You want to know the struggles that come from that? A lot. A lot of heartache and pain. A lot of divorce because too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And also men not being men leading their homes. Women's Lib says, I'm liberated, and God says you're not. You're to be submitted to an imperfect man, one that's not perfect, but you're to submit to him. Next week we'll cover how a man is to rule over his wife. In many countries where the Bible is not allowed or preached, women are treated like a piece of property, sold and traded and beaten and treated like a mule. That's not the way God intended it to be either. Where the Bible is preached, that's not the case, folks. It's not. That's not the case. It's not Islam. That's how Islam treats women, because they're pigs and they don't understand the Bible. They're lost. Amen? Probably get shot for calling a Muslim a pig now. That's scary. Sometimes a husband, well, they are. Look how they treat their women. They beat them. They abuse them. It's horrible. I'm telling you the truth, folks. They're horrible to women. A biblical submission is not that. My wife doesn't walk around in fear of me. She doesn't walk around scared of me. My daughter doesn't even walk around scared of me. Amen. They don't walk around thinking, oh, the wrath of dad's coming or the wrath of my husband's coming because I did this or I did that. My family life is not like that. My wife is submitted to me and she doesn't live like that. Ladies, it's important to remember that submission is unto God because it's His order. Your husband may not care if you lead him, but God cares. That's why he said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as the Lord. The scripture does not say submit when it feels good or it's right or it's nice. But it says, and he shall rule over thee. Why? God's divine judgment, his sentence. And you and I are not allowed to usurp God's design. That's the greatest sin in a woman pastoring, a woman leading a marriage, a woman being in charge, and a man not standing up to me, is that it usurps. It's not the fact that she does something to you. It's the fact that she spits in God's face and so do you and says, God will not have your order. We'll do it our way. That's the great sin in a lack of submission in a husband and wife relationship. It's the fact that you are bucking God when you do it. Understand that. Why? Because that's the sentence that God had laid down. Husbands, you're not allowed to usurp God's authority and make your wife lead either, because you don't want to be a man and be a biblical leader like you should be. You're not allowed to do that either. Far too many women suffer from a lack of clear biblical leadership from their husband in this day and age. And I'll tell you something right now, far too many women that are even in our fundamental churches are trying to buck their own husbands in things. They're fighting and they're battling their husbands in decision making because somebody out there is preaching something that says that we make decisions together when it comes to things. I don't see that in there. Could you show me the chapter and verse where the Bible says that I'm to consult my wife in every decision that I'm to make? Now, out of respect, I talk to my wife about everything pretty much. Except when you come to me with things, I don't tell her things. Amen? And some things that I handle, I don't tell her about. And I have to get alone with God and I have to lead. And I don't let my wife lead me and make spiritual decisions for my family. I don't let my wife do that. Why? Because it's not her duty to do, it's mine. Amen? Because thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Think about it. You know, we can get out of line with this order real quick and cause a lot of troubles. But you know what? You know why I'm preaching this? Because our families need it. You know, the things that I said here recently, just what I've talked about here tonight, if I'd have said these things 50 to 100 years ago, they wouldn't have thought twice about them. Today, people in the back of their mind, they think about that. I wonder if a woman should be president, really. Probably okay. Why? Because of the wicked devil's women's lib movement that moved in. So they started burning their undergarments and acting like men. All it is wicked rebellion against God. That's all it is. Why do you think a woman being a keeper at home looks so bad to the world now? Why do you think the world hates a keeper at home now? Why do you think the world looks down on a lady that stays home and raises her children? Somebody says, what do you think so-and-so politicians should do? Miss Bachman or Miss Palin? Well, I think Mrs. Palin ought to go home and take care of her baby. I think she has a baby that has Down syndrome or something. I think she ought to go home and be a wife to her husband and take care of the kids and go home. I don't think she ought to run for the presidency of the United States. Why? Because she has a child that she's supposed to raise. And if you don't like that, get your heart right with God. Because God didn't let the man have the baby. He let the woman have it. Amen? How could any man even think about that? That with this little autistic baby or Down syndrome baby, and you're saying, I want to vote for this lady. You want to vote for somebody else to take care of her child for her? Really? Honestly? And you're calling yourself a biblical Christian? Would you wake up and see that this world is feminized? And that men aren't being men? And when a man stands up like me and says something like this, it offends people greatly? And the reason it does is because all I gave you tonight was straight Bible, and I want you to argue with it. I want you to go home and get into your prayer closet, take out your Bible, and argue with God. Because none of it was opinion, it was biblical. It was straight Bible. And by the way, one of the greatest treasures besides my eternal life is my wife. So my wife doesn't have some life where she's cooped up and she hates life. Believe me, she doesn't. But I've seen a lot of ladies that are in their own hell, believe me. When they go their own way and do it their own way. You know what happens? You know why this buck happens in marriages? Because one's wanting to go their own way all the time and the husband just gives up and doesn't want to lead. You know, there's a family that's not here anymore. And I'll tell you something right now. One of the reasons why they're not here is because the wife would not let her husband lead. Plain and simple. And he got so discouraged that he just went out and did whatever he wanted to do. Made a lot of money. Wife made a lot of money. I'm going to say something and people are going to get mad at me, but that's okay. When you send your wife to work to make a lot of money, you're asking for a lot of trouble. And you may not like that, but friend, I lived it. My mother left the home to go make a lot of money. And I almost died and went to hell. So you ask me what is my, I'm telling you, I'm getting more old fashioned as I go, and I just believe that when you have those little babies in your hands, you're supposed to be a keeper at home. You're supposed to take care of your babies. Why? Well, because God didn't give them to the daycare center. He gave them to you. You. Right? I mean, think about it, folks. Am I saying so? Why does that sound so bad today? Why are pastors so scared to say that today? They won't say that. So what they do is they create new classes so they can send your little kids to. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not being unkind at all. I'm not making fun. I'm being dead serious. So we have K1, K2, K3, K4, I don't know. K4 months? I don't know. What do we have here? Here, just take them right out of the stomach. Here you go. Folks, I'm telling you, our nation is in trouble tonight. Our churches and our families are in trouble tonight. Why? It's because we've left this divine order. And it all starts with that whole thing. We've left it. And people, and listen, listen, folks, I understand completely, and I'm done. I'm not trying to ramble. I'm done, but I want to tell you this. I know people are not going to come to this church because of the stand I take. I understand that. I do. And there's no doubt with me that people are going to hate me for the stand that I take. They already have. I've already heard it, believe me. I understand. And I understand sometimes you're going to misunderstand me and you're going to look at the stand that I take and you're not going to like everything that I say. And believe me, I understand that too. I really do. But I'm being completely honest with you when I tell you I can't preach anything else but what I see in that book. And sometimes, the fleshly side of me wishes that I didn't see everything so clearly in here. Because when I end up seeing it clearly, then I have to preach it that clear. And ignorance is bliss. Because maybe, just maybe, people wouldn't hate me so much if I was ignorant. Maybe they wouldn't. I just care for your children. I don't want to see 20 years from now if the Lord tarries is coming. And your children get away from God because their parents didn't take care of them. Their mother wasn't home with them. Didn't watch over them. Amen? You might even end up thanking me one day for it. Amen? Maybe. I just don't see it any other way in the Scriptures than that divine order that God set up. And by the way, none of us are starving, not having two incomes, are we? I mean, Lee's even got a new role that I've never seen. But I'm kidding. That I've never seen before, so I know he's doing good. No, I'm kidding. But none of us are starving, are we? Folks, why don't we just trust God and believe Him and raise our children and live a simple life? Why can't we just do that? Why not just, why desire all these other things? Why, we don't need them. What do we need them for? Oh, I'm saving $1 million when I retire. You might be dead, and who cares? The money ain't going to be worth nothing anyway. I'm not telling you not to save. I'm just telling you that $1 million that you're going to try to save up to have somebody else go to work and do all that $1 million, it's only going to be worth, like, I don't know, when they default on the money, it won't be worth anything. They'll steal that from you. So, I mean, it won't be worth anything. Inflation is the greatest cost of living that we have. I mean, all I'm saying is, why not just get the treasures of heaven? Why not just worry about that? Why not just keep the simple design God has for us? Why not? What's so wrong with doing that? What's so wrong with just desiring the Bible and the truth of Scriptures? What's so wrong with that? Why do we have to go outside of it and look for what the world has to offer and have everything else that we want in our lives? Why can't we just keep the car an extra year? Fix it up. Keep it another year. Why? What's it matter? What's it all going to profit in the end? We're not going to stand before God and He's not going to say, man, you should have got that car. Just think about these things, okay? I'm not trying to harp on you. I just want you to think about it. There are things that I think about myself. That's why I had to quit that other job. I just say, just walk away and say, fine, it's done, it's over, I'm not going to continue with it. I mean, I do some things on the side a little bit, but I mean, I'm not going to make that my whole life. I could have prolonged it. I could have kept it. I could have done some things. I couldn't, though. I knew it was time to run. I just want you to think about it, folks. This divine order. Just think about it. Think about what God has. Father, I pray You'd bless us now. Lord, this is Your plan and not mine.